If you want to understand the Nashville real estate market in 2026, you really don't look at the glittering new skyscrapers downtown.
No, not at all.
Right. You look at a 90-day ticking clock in the suburbs. Because if you are one of the, tens of thousands of people trying to figure out exactly where to land in this booming metro area, the anxiety of the where can be completely paralyzing.
Oh, absolutely. It's overwhelming for people.
Yeah, moving here means a great job market and no state income tax, but missing the mark means you might end up in a beautiful house that, well, traps you in a soul-crushing daily commute.
The stakes for relocation have literally never been higher. When buyers look at a map of a new city, they tend to see a blank canvas.
Right.
But the reality is, this really complex grid of zoning laws, hyperlocal economies, and finite infrastructure. If you don't understand the mechanisms driving those individual suburban markets, you are essentially gambling with your largest asset.
And taking that gamble out of the equation is exactly what we are tackling for you today. We are looking at a highly detailed Q1 2026 guide by Run Home Rentals.
And it's a great data set.
It really is. This isn't some, glossy, generic, best places to live listicle. They've pulled together hard current data from Redfin, Zillow, and Greater Nashville Realtors to show us the actual unvarnished mechanics of what is happening on the ground. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because the mission of this deep dive is to decode what the five top Nashville suburbs, Franklin, Brentwood, Mount Juliet, Nolensville, and Hendersonville, actually offer. We're looking at median prices, commute times, school ratings to help you figure out which one fits your specific life.
Exactly.
But before we get into the neighborhood street fights, give us the macro view. Like, why is the pressure so high in Nashville right now?
Well, the foundation of this market's durability is essentially a three-legged stool. First, you have the structural advantage of zero state income tax.
Huge draw.
Right, which acts as a permanent magnet for high earners relocating from the coasts. Second, the economic engine has fully diversified. It is no longer just, music and tourism.
Yeah, it's totally shifted.
You have a massive influx of healthcare administration, logistics, and tech operations. Finally, that sustained job growth has fueled a full decade of heavy, consistent population inflow.
Which changes everything.
Exactly. When you combine high-income migration with a diverse corporate footprint, buying real estate here transcends just finding a place to sleep. It becomes a highly defensible long-term wealth strategy.
Which brings us to the absolute top of that wealth ladder. If you're moving to Nashville and your non-negotiable priority is elite, nationally ranked schools, the data points straight to Williamson County.
Specifically, Franklin and Brentwood.
Right. Let's start with Franklin, which the guide labels the gold standard. The median price here in early 2026 is sitting around $850,000.
Yep, that's the entry point.
And you get an A-plus school district and a commute to downtown that ranges from, what, 25 to 35 minutes. But my question is, how does an $850,000 median price stay so resilient even when national interest rates fluctuate?
Well, the mechanism protecting that value is historical preservation combined with a massive commercial tax base. Franklin has a genuine, walkable, historic downtown.
Main Street is beautiful.
It's incredible. We are talking about Main Street, independent restaurants, and a strict historical commission that prevents developers from bulldozing character. Because that authentic lifestyle infrastructure is so rare, it acts as an economic moat.
Oh, that makes sense.
Furthermore, Williamson County has built a corporate tax base hosting headquarters for massive healthcare and auto companies that hyperfunds the public school system without crippling the individual homeowner with property taxes.
Wow.
Yeah, that formula makes it a forever home market.
But the guide highlights a very specific 2026 data point. Homes in Franklin are now sitting on the market for an average of 90 days.
They are.
That is up from 75 days a year ago. It seems like the frenzy is finally breaking. I picture days on market like a pressure valve,
Right.
When it stretches to 90 days, the steam escapes and the power dynamic shifts from the seller to the buyer. But let me push back on this a bit.
Sure.
With days on market hitting 90, are buyers actually getting the upper hand? Or is an $850,000 entry-level price still basically an impossible barrier for anyone who isn't like a coastal transplant, bringing a massive bag of equity.
Meaning selling a $2 million bungalow in LA and paying cash.
Exactly. Paying cash in Tennessee.
What's fascinating here is I completely disagree with the premise that buyers don't have the upper hand, because we have to define what upper hand actually means in a luxury market.
Okay, define it.
Yes, the absolute financial barrier to entry is steep, but compare this 90-day environment to the absolute chaos of 2022.
No, that was wild.
Back then, buyers at that price point were forced to waive every single contingency just to compete, meaning they weren't legally allowed to demand repairs even if the inspection revealed a collapsing foundation.
Which is insane to think about now.
Truly. Today, that 90-day pressure valve means a buyer financing with a standard mortgage can actually demand a new roof. They can ask the seller to buy down their interest rate. The transaction has returned to a rational, negotiated business deal.
Rather than a blind auction.
Exactly.
That makes the process sound a lot less terrifying. But then you look 10 miles north, closer to Nashville, and you hit Brentwood. And the data jump here is staggering.
It really is.
We go from an $850,000 median in Franklin to a $1.4 million median price in Brentwood.
Yeah.
Both share the exact same elite Williamson County school system.
Yes, they do.
But the guide explicitly warns you. There are no starter homes in Brentwood. If your budget is under $900,000, you will find absolutely nothing. Why is that inventory completely missing?
That absence of starter homes is engineered by local zoning laws and topography.
Engineered?
Yeah. Brentwood's landscape is defined by steep, rolling hills, which makes high-density, cookie-cutter development physically difficult. But more importantly, local ordinances mandate minimum lot sizes.
Like how big?
Often a full acre in many neighborhoods.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when a developer is forced by law to build on a one-acre lot, the land cost alone dictates that they must build a 4,000-square-foot luxury home just to turn a profit.
Right.
They mathematically cannot build a $500,000 starter home. That zoning creates an artificial cap on inventory, which perpetually drives the median price skyward.
So it's essentially an invisible wall. It really feels like Brentwood is a highly exclusive country club, where the barrier to entry is purely the cost of the land and, I guess, this shorter 20-minute commute to downtown.
That's a great way to put it.
While Franklin, on the other hand, is like a curated artisanal boutique where you're paying a premium for walkability and historical charm.
Exactly. Two very different luxury experiences.
But let's follow the chain reaction here. If you are a buyer who wants A-plus schools, but you simply cannot stomach an $850,000 to $1.4 million price tag, that pressure has to go somewhere.
It does. It flows outward.
And the people getting squeezed out of Brentwood are creating a massive ripple effect down I-65. And that brings us to the newcomers and the value plays, Nolensville and Mount Juliet.
The causality there is spot on. Nolensville is the direct beneficiary of the Brentwood pricing squeeze.
Right.
It is the fastest growing relocation pick on this list because it sits just east of Brentwood, still inside Williamson County. You get the exact same gold standard A-rated schools, but the median price drops to $755,000.
And the housing stock is completely different. The guide points out that over 75% of the homes in Nolensville were built since the year 2000.
Lots of new construction.
So if you want that brand new, modern, open concept feel with massive kitchen islands in neighborhoods like Ancilla or Bent Creek, this is your spot. But you don't just get a $100,000 discount for nothing.
No, you don't.
The trade-off here is infrastructure. Your commute to downtown Nashville is going to be the longest of the group. Easily 30 to 40 minutes on a good day.
If you're lucky.
Right. I actually have a friend who made this exact trade-off. He bought this gorgeous new build in a peripheral suburb to save money, but now he spends 10 hours a week white-knuckling his steering wheel on I-65.
Oh, that's brutal.
Just listening to audiobooks and deeply regretting his life choices because the roads haven't caught up to the population explosion.
Well, infrastructure lag is the hidden tax of new development. Nolensville is heavily residential, meaning it lacks the commercial zoning that brings in large restaurants or entertainment venues.
So you're driving for dinner?
Yeah. If you want a high-end dinner, you are driving 15 minutes back into Brentwood. You are actively trading local walkability and your personal time for a newer roof, more square footage, and access to those elite schools.
Which brings up a fascinating alternative.
Yeah.
What if you want to drop the price even further and you are willing to compromise slightly on the school pedigree?
Then you cross county lines.
Exactly. We cross over to Mount Juliet. We are shifting out of Williamson County and into Wilson County. The schools here are still solidly A-rated, but the median price drops aggressively to $597,000.
That's a huge jump down in price.
And the market reality here in 2026 is wild. Homes are taking 112 days to move, and 27% of listings are showing price reductions.
Yep.
My instinct when I see massive price reductions is that the market is dumping bad inventory. Like, is Mount Juliet just filled with undesirable homes right now?
Not at all. A 27% rate of price reductions is a symptom of psychological lag among sellers, not bad houses.
Okay, what do you mean by psychological lag?
Well, Mount Juliet, which is heavily built out with massive retail centers like Providence Marketplace, experienced a huge boom from out-of-state relocators wanting turnkey homes between 2021 and 2023.
Oh, right.
So sellers in 2026 are still pricing their homes based on the bidding wars of 3 years ago. The buyers, however, are looking at 2026 interest rates and refusing to bite. Ah, so there's a standoff.
Exactly. That 112 days on market is the time it takes for a seller to finally accept the new economic reality and lower their price. For a buyer looking under $700,000, that dynamic makes Mount Juliet the most lucrative negotiating ground on the board.
Let me pose a scenario to you. You are looking at the map. Is it genuinely a smarter financial play to buy into Mount Juliet's longer days on market and lower median price rather than paying the $150,000 premium to squeeze into Nolansville for the elite schools?
Hmm.
Especially if you work remotely and the commute doesn't factor into your daily math.
That decision hinges entirely on how you view your home as an asset class.
Okay.
If your home is primarily a wealth vehicle and your goal is aggressive, recession-proof appreciation, Nolansville's premium is historically justified because the Williamson County school zoning acts as an ironclad floor for property values.
Right. It protects the downside. Exactly. However, if you view your home as a utility, like just a place to live comfortably, locking up less capital in Mount Juliet is a highly pragmatic move.
Because you can use that money elsewhere.
Yes. You take that $150,000 you saved, invest it in diversified index funds or other real estate, and your overall net worth might actually grow faster than relying purely on your primary residence's appreciation.
Okay, we've dissected the elite school zoning, the new bills, and the value plays. But what if you are looking at this map and you want something totally different?
Like what?
Like real lifestyle amenities. Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the biggest statistical anomaly in the 2026 data is Hendersonville.
Oh, yeah, the wild card.
This suburb saw a massive 17.8% year-over-year price increase, bringing its median to $595,000. My gut tells me a nearly 18% jump in a single year means developers are bulldozing the shoreline to build massive, dense luxury condo towers. Is that what's causing this surge?
Actually, it is the exact opposite. It's a regulatory bottleneck creating intense scarcity.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Hendersonville sits on Old Hickory Lake, and it is the only suburb on this top five list offering genuine waterfront living.
Johnny Cash territory.
Exactly. But the waterfront is heavily regulated by the Tennessee Valley Authority, or the TVA. The TVA controls water rights and shoreline development, meaning they strictly limit where new private docks can be built.
Oh, so you can't just throw a dock anywhere.
No, because you cannot just infinitely construct new docks. Existing homes with approved deep water docks are a finite, irreplaceable resource.
Supply and demand at its most basic.
Right. When wealthy buyers come into the market wanting lake access within 30 minutes of downtown Nashville, they are fighting over a locked number of properties, driving high-end prices into the stratosphere.
So the luxury lakefront market is aggressively pulling the overall median price up for the entire zip code.
Precisely. But here's the trap relocating buyers fall into. They look at that $595,000 median price online and assume they're getting a house on the water.
And they aren't.
They aren't. Hendersonville is a tale of two entirely different markets. The non-lakefront homes, specifically in the $350,000 to $550,000 range, are sitting on the market much longer.
Interesting.
Because the luxury water properties are skewing the data, the inland neighborhoods actually offer the most accessible, negotiable, sub-$500,000 inventory in the entire metro area.
Which is fantastic for budget-conscious buyers, as long as they manage their expectations about stepping out their back door onto a boat.
Very true.
Okay, we've laid out the entire board. We have the historical durability of Franklin, the topographical exclusivity of Brentwood, the turnkey value of Mount Juliet, the new build sprawl of Nolansville, and the heavily regulated late life of Hendersonville.
That's the map.
Now that you have all the underlying mechanisms, how do you actually make the final choice without suffering massive buyer's remorse 6 months later?
Well, the guide from Run Home Rentals provides a strict three-step decision framework.
Yeah.
You have to remove emotion and basically run your life through this matrix.
Step one.
Step one, schools. If you have children and the absolute top tier nationally ranked pedigree is your non-negotiable requirement, your first cut is purely geographical. You instantly eliminate Mount Juliet and Hendersonville. Your search is strictly confined to the Williamson County borders.
That immediately cuts the noise. Step two.
Step two is calculating the true cost of the commute. Commuting 20 minutes from Brentwood versus 35 minutes from Nolensville might look like a minor inconvenience on a smartphone map.
Right, it's just 15 minutes.
But that extra 15 minutes each way equates to roughly 50 hours a year. You have to treat those 50 hours as a brutal sunk cost of time that you can never get back.
Wow, 50 hours in traffic. Mm. And step three is price reality. Knowing your absolute ceiling instantly clarifies the map. If your budget is firmly capped under $1 million, Brentwood is mathematically impossible because of the zoning constraints we talked about.
Correct.
If your ceiling is $700,000, Franklin is going to be incredibly frustrating. Acknowledging that opens up Mount Juliet, Hendersonville, and the older pockets of Nolensville, which entirely dominate the sub-$650,000 tier.
But even with that logical framework, the source issues a critical on-the-ground warning. You cannot buy a house based purely on a Redfin spreadsheet.
No, you really can't.
You must conduct the 5 p.m. Tuesday test. You have to physically visit the suburb during rush hour. You need to drive the actual school drop-off route. Walk the aisles of the local grocery store.
Feel the vibe of the place.
Right. Does the infrastructure support the population? Does the community fit your daily rhythm? The data matrix builds your shortlist, but physical friction is what confirms the final choice.
And what if your choice involves turning your current house into a rental? Because the guide notes a massive trend of buyers moving to Nashville and house hacking.
Oh, it's a huge trend right now.
Yeah, for those unfamiliar, house hacking means you buy a property and live in one part of it, like the primary bedroom, while renting out the basement or an over-the-garage suite to help cover these elevated 2026 mortgage rates.
Or they are keeping their previous out-of-state home and renting it out.
Exactly. How do you actually manage the mechanics of that from hundreds of miles away?
If you are becoming a landlord, especially across state lines, utilizing the right digital infrastructure is mandatory. The guide highlights several specialized tools. The first is Baselane, a banking platform built specifically for real estate investors.
Okay, what does it do differently?
The critical mechanism here is preventing the commingling of funds. If you accidentally mix your tenant's security deposit with your personal grocery money, you can pierce your corporate veil and ruin your legal liability protection.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Very. Baselane mechanically separates those ledgers.
There is also Smart Move by TransUnion, which solves the bottleneck of tenant screening by running criminal and credit reports where the applicant actually pays the fee directly.
That's a great one.
And finally, there is Stessa. If you are managing an out-of-state property come tax time, calculating depreciation and organizing your Schedule E tax forms can be an absolute nightmare.
Oh, don't even get me started on tax forms.
Right. Stessa is an accounting tool that auto-categorizes all your rental transactions in real time. If you're making this move as a strategic investment play, setting up this infrastructure before you buy is essential.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the relocation process isn't just about finding a kitchen you like. It's about aligning your capital with the specific hyper-local economic forces of a given suburb.
Yeah, you have to look deeper.
The buyers who end up deeply frustrated are the ones who refuse to prioritize. They want the one-acre Brentwood lot, the historic Franklin charm, and the Mount Juliet price tag all rolled into one property.
And that chimera just does not exist.
The market forces won't allow it. You have to know the rules of the game before you place your chips on the board.
So what does this all mean? It means that whether you leverage the commercial tax base of Franklin, navigate the strict zoning of Brentwood, capitalize on the seller concessions in Mount Juliet, endure the infrastructure growing pains of Nolensville, or hunt for finite water rights in Hendersonville, the Nashville Metro remains an incredibly dynamic place to park your money.
Absolutely.
The economic drivers are real, and understanding the why behind the data gives you the actual upper hand. But I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over.
Let's hear it.
We talked about how the brutal 50-hour commute penalty from a peripheral suburb like Nolensville matters a lot less if you work remotely. That math works perfectly today.
Sure does.
But think about this. If you purchased a home in 2026, based entirely on your company's current remote work policy, what happens to the underlying value of your property and your own daily psychological happiness? If a massive corporate policy shift suddenly mandates a return to the office 5 days a week.
That's a scary thought.
Right. Are you prepared for your remote work oasis to instantly transform into a 10-hour-a-week traffic nightmare on I-65? It's a fundamental risk assessment that isn't on any standard property disclosure form.
It really isn't.
Keep digging into your sources, look closely at the invisible forces shaping your map, and stay curious about what you actually need out of a home. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.